Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really critical for businesses, especially looking ahead into 2025, automation.
Absolutely. It's huge right now.
Yeah. I mean, with remote work sticking around, competition for talent, those constant cost pressures, It feels like everyone needs more agility, more efficiency.
And automation's a big part of that puzzle.
For sure. But the big question seems to be, you know, do you stick with traditional RPA, robotic process automation, or jump into the newer AI-driven stuff?
Right. The intelligent automation or hyper-automation, as some call it, that's the core dilemma.
Exactly. So we've sifted through a lot of research on this. You don't need the chapter and verse, but we've pulled out what you really need to know.
Our mission today is to break down the key differences, look at the pros and cons of each.
And importantly, how they're starting to work together, especially in the Salesforce world, which we know is key for so many of you listening.
Okay, let's jump in.
Right. So starting point, traditional RPA, what are we actually talking about here?
Well, think of it like teaching a software bot to do exactly what a human does on a computer.
Like clicking, typing.
Exactly. Clicking buttons, copying data, pasting it somewhere else, moving between different apps. Typical stuff might be like entering invoice details into a finance system or maybe updating customer records in a CRM.
So it's basically automating those really repetitive, predictable tasks, the ones nobody really wants to do anyway.
Pretty much, yeah.
How does it work, like technically?
It mainly works on the front end, the user interface. So it interacts with the screens, the menus, the buttons you actually see and use.
Just like a person would.
Right. Which makes it great for high volume rules-based stuff, especially, you know, if you're dealing with older legacy systems that don't have easy connections, APIs.
Ah, okay. So if you can't easily integrate systems in the background, RPA can kind of work around that on the surface.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. RPA isn't brand new, obviously. What did the uptake look like, say, back in 2023? Was it becoming common?
Oh, yeah. Definitely moved past the early stages by then. Avasant research showed about 31% of enterprises were using it, which was up quite a bit from 20% just a couple years earlier in 2021.
So significant growth.
Huge growth. And globally, something like 66% of businesses had automated at least one process. The ROI numbers were pretty compelling, too.
Oh, yeah. What kind of return were people seeing?
Well, it varied, naturally, but figures ranged from 30% up to maybe 200% in the first year.
200%? Wow.
Yeah, depending on the complexity and, you know, how central that process was.
That's impressive. What about the overall market? Was it big money?
The RPA software market itself was projected to hit somewhere between $25 and $30 billion by the mid-2020s, growing fast, like 20% year over year.
Okay.
But if you zoom out to hyper-automation, that's RPA plus AI, analytics, all that market forecast was massive, over $500 billion by 2025.
Half a trillion. Okay, so clearly a major strategic area.
No question. Big investments happening.
So where was RPA making the biggest waves initially? Which departments? What kinds of tasks?
A lot of it started in the back office. Finance was a big one. Accounts payable, reconciliations, generating financial reports.
Makes sense. Lots of routine stuff there.
Exactly. Healthcare, too, for things like processing claims, checking insurance eligibility, patient onboarding, and then retail, telecoms, order entry, customer setup, basic trouble ticketing.
Okay. And let's bring it into the Salesforce world, because that's so relevant for our listeners. How is RPA used there?
It was really useful for bridging Salesforce with other systems that maybe weren't easily integrated.
Like those legacy systems you mentioned.
Right. Or third-party portals. So you'd see bots pulling order data from an external site and putting it into Salesforce. Mm. Or scraping leads from websites and filling in CRM fields.
Automating data entry, basically.
Yeah, or even things like generating invoices and sending follow-ups, triggered by something happening in Salesforce, like an opportunity closing.
And Salesforce itself got into this space, didn't they?
They did. They launched MuleSoft RPA back in 2021. That was part of their whole Einstein Automate push, showing they saw the need.
Okay, so it definitely filled a gap, connecting systems. Let's recap the big plus points for traditional RPA. Why was it so popular?
Well, first, speed. Speed of value. Most platforms are low code, so you can get bots up and running relatively quickly.
Faster than building complex integrations sometimes.
Often, yes. Second, cost savings. We saw figures like 10 to 50% reduction in operating costs for those processes.
Significant.
Definitely. Third, it's usually non-disruptive. It works with your existing apps, doesn't usually require big back-end changes.
That's a major selling point.
And finally, for those high-volume, structured, repetitive tasks, it scales really well.
Okay, sounds good. But there have to be downsides, right? Where does traditional RPA stumble?
Absolutely. Big limitation.
Yeah.
It doesn't learn. It just follows the rules you give it. If something changes,
it breaks.
Often, yeah. That's the fragility problem. If the website layout changes or the format of report is different, the bot can just stop working. Needs fixing.
Which takes time and effort.
Right. And it's limited in scope. It can't really understand unstructured stuff, handwritten notes, the meaning in an email, images.
Just sees data fields, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And one other thing, as companies rolled out more and more bots, sometimes without great management, you'd get this bot sprawl. Just lots of bots doing different things, hard to keep track of, creating governance headaches.
Okay, those are pretty key limitations, especially that inability to handle unstructured data or adapt to change.
Definitely. And that really paves the way for the next step,
which is bringing in the AI, intelligent automation. So fast forward to 2025. What does that look like?
So now we're talking about production-grade systems that actively combine RPA with AI technologies, machine learning, NLP, natural language processing.
That's understanding text, right?
Right. Understanding emails, documents, also computer vision for images, and even generative AI, like the models that can create text or code.
Okay. And the key difference is?
The key difference is that these systems can understand unstructured data. Hmm. They can make judgments or decisions based on that data. And crucially, they can learn and get better over time.
So it's not just following fixed steps anymore. It's interpreting, adapting, evolving almost.
Exactly. Think about reading a scanned invoice. Even if the layout changes slightly, AI with computer vision can often handle that where RPA would fail.
Or understanding why a customer is emailing, not just seeing that an email arrived.
Precisely. Using NLP to get the intent. Or using machine learning to analyze patterns and maybe predict, say, which sales leads are most likely to convert or detect potential fraud.
And generative AI, how does that fit in?
That's enabling automation of things like writing first drafts of emails, summarizing long reports, or even helping generate the automation scripts themselves.
Okay, that's a serious step up in capability. What's the investment looking like in this AI-driven space?
It's huge. IDC predicted global spending on AI tech hitting around $337 billion in 2025. And get this, about two-thirds of that, 67%, was expected to be focused specifically on embedding AI into business workflows.
So putting AI to work directly in processes.
Exactly. And Gartner's hyperautomation market forecast, that $500 billion plus figure we mentioned, that reflects this blend of AI and RPA impacting maybe 20% of all business processes.
And leaders are backing this. C-suite buy-in.
Seems so. Around 59% of executives plan to increase their budgets for automation and AI. It's clearly a strategic priority.
Okay. Let's break down those AI capabilities a bit more. How are they practically changing automation? You mentioned unstructured data.
Yeah, NLP is massive there. Analyzing emails, support tickets, social media comments for sentiment for key topics. Computer vision is automating things like checking documents, quality control on assembly lines by seeing defects.
And the learning aspect.
That's machine learning. Using feedback loops to refine predictions, improve decision accuracy in the automated process. Predictive analytics uses that to forecast demand, spot anomalies, things like that.
And generative AI again.
Automating content creation, marketing copy, personalized outreach, summarizing meetings, even code generation, like we said.
You mentioned Salesforce Einstein GPP before. How is Salesforce weaving all this AI into its platform for automation?
They're really going all in. Einstein Automate is like the central hub for orchestrating these intelligent workflows.
Mm.
MuleSoft RPA is still key for connecting external systems, but it's now part of that intelligent flow.
So AI can trigger RPA tasks.
Exactly. Their AI cloud provides the infrastructure for running the machine learning models. Einstein GPT, as we discussed, generates content within the CRM, sales, emails, case summaries, knowledge articles.
And reading documents.
That's Einstein Document Reader. Pulling data out of PDFs, scans, and putting it into Salesforce fields automatically.
So they're building it in everywhere.
Pretty much.
Jeez.
And the usage stats are wild. Back in 2023, they were reporting something like 38 billion automated flows run daily.
Daily.
Daily. And 116 billion Einstein predictions made daily. It shows how deeply embedded it's becoming.
That scale is incredible. So what's the payoff for businesses? What's the actual impact of using AI-driven automation?
Several big things. First, speed. Processes get faster because you cut out manual steps and AI helps make quicker decisions.
Okay.
Second, you can automate more.
Okay.
AI handles the variation, the judgment calls, the unstructured data that stopped RPA. So higher automation coverage overall.
Right. Tackles more complex stuff.
Third, smarter outcomes. Predictive insights mean you can be more proactive, anticipate issues.
And productivity.
Big boost there too. Accenture estimated generative AI alone could lift productivity by up to 40% in some areas. Software development, customer service, sales.
40% is huge. But with all this power, there must be risks, right? Governance challenges.
Absolutely. That's super important. First, you need good data. AI models are only as good as the data they're trained on. So data readiness, cleanliness, structure, that's crucial.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Still applies. Then there's model oversight. You need to watch for bias creeping in or model drift where performance degrades over time.
Yeah.
Explainability is key too. Can you understand why the AI made a certain decision?
For trust and accountability.
Exactly. And ethical AI fairness, transparency, plus all the usual compliance stuff like GDPR, IPA, depending on your industry and data.
It's complex.
It is. And IDC actually estimated that maybe 30% of companies might hit pause on Gen AI projects, specifically because of worries about governance, cost, or these ethical risks if they aren't handled properly.
Okay, definitely things to watch out for. So we've looked at both sides. Let's try and draw a really clear comparison. RPA versus AI automation key differences.
Okay, let's line them up. Task type. RPA is for structured, repetitive tasks. AI handles unstructured, more cognitive tasks.
Image handling.
RPA needs structured data only. AI can work with unstructured text, images, audio, you name it.
Learning.
Big difference here. RPA, no learning. AI, yes, learns from feedback, data.
Adaptability.
RPA is brittle, breaks easily with change. AI is much more adaptive.
Skills needed to build them.
RPA often involves low-code tools, business analysts. AI usually needs data scientists, AI engineers.
Time to see ROI.
Generally quicker with RPA, weeks or months. AI projects might take longer months, maybe quarters.
Give me a simple example of each.
Okay, RPA. Copying invoice numbers from a spreadsheet to a finance system. AI. Understanding the intent of a customer email and routing it correctly, or automatically extracting data from various invoice formats.
Got it. And limitations again.
RPA's limits. Breaks with UI changes. Can't handle ambiguity or unstructured data. AI's limits. Depends heavily on data quality. And managing the models requires governance and expertise.
That's a great summary. It really highlights how different they are, but also potentially how they could work together.
Exactly. And that's the key insight, really. Leading companies aren't just choosing one or the other. They're combining them.
Which leads to?
Hyperautomation. Using both RPA and AI, often orchestrated together, to automate much broader, more complex end-to-end processes.
Okay, hyperautomation. So bringing it back to Salesforce users again, what does an intelligent automation strategy look like using Salesforce tools?
It's often a mix. You'd use Salesforce's own tools like Flow and Flow Orchestrator for automating things within Salesforce.
Okay, internal processes.
Right. Then you'd use MuleSoft RPA to reach out and automate tasks in other systems, triggered perhaps by a Salesforce flow.
Connecting the dots.
Exactly. You layer in Einstein GPT for generating content, maybe drafting emails or summaries within those flows. Use Einstein Document Reader to pull in data from external documents.
Feeding info into Salesforce.
Right. And maybe even tools like GetGenerative.ai, which uses AI to help build proposals or configure products faster. Again, integrated into the Salesforce workflow.
Can you walk me through a quick example? How might that all connect in, say, a sales process?
Sure. Imagine an opportunity hits a certain stage in Salesforce. A flow kicks off automatically.
Okay.
That flow could trigger a MuleSoft RPA bot to go fetch the customer's purchase history from an old separate ordering system.
Brings the data back.
Right. Then maybe the flow sends that data, plus opportunity details, to Einstein GPT. To draft a personalized proposal, or quote.
Automatically generates a starting point.
Yep. And meanwhile, maybe AI Cloud is updating the lead score based on recent interactions, and flow surfaces that score right on the salesperson's screen. All connected. Mostly automated.
That sounds powerful. Very streamlined. Okay, let's broaden out again. Industry examples. Where is this RPA plus AI combo really making a difference? Finance and banking first.
Yeah, finance was early here. RPA handles the basics, checking loan application forms, reconciling accounts, standard reports. We saw lenders cut approval time significantly that way.
And the AI part.
AI comes in for fraud detection, spotting patterns humans might miss. AI chatbots handle tons of routine customer queries now, maybe 80% in some banks.
That frees up human agents.
Exactly. And combining them, we saw a U.S. bank cut overall loan processing time by 60%. Another firm automated complex pricing models for real-time online quotes using both.
Impressive. What about healthcare and life sciences?
Similar pattern. RPA for the admin grind. insurance checks, patient intake forms, billing. That eye care chain saved 37,000 hours a year and got paid 9 days faster using RPA.
Wow.
Then AI tackles the complex stuff, helping with medical coding from doctor's notes, reviewing charts, even assisting diagnostics. One provider cut manual coding effort by 95% and boosted accuracy to 90% using AI with RPA.
Huge efficiency gains.
And AI bots are scheduling appointments too, sometimes over half of them, cutting operational costs by more than 35% in some cases.
Okay, manufacturing and supply chain. Lots of moving parts there.
Definitely. RPA is great for purchase orders, matching invoices, getting data into ERP systems reliably. One manufacturer replaced four clerks just by automating invoice handling with RPA.
Simple but effective cost saving.
Right. AI gets applied to forecasting demand more accurately, predicting when machinery might fail, predictive maintenance.
Saving downtime.
Exactly. And optimizing complex production schedules. Combine them, like one manufacturer did, using AI to predict maintenance needs and RPA to automatically schedule the work order. They cut downtime by 25% and improved on-time delivery by 15%.
Those are solid numbers. And we have that table summarizing some real company examples too, right? Reinforcing this blend.
Yeah, exactly. That eye care chain used both RPA and AI for those savings. A nursing home provider used AI coding bots plus RPA for that 95% manual effort reduction.
Trade finance bank automating letters of credit.
That was RPA. But then an insurance company used both RPA and AI to process claims 67% faster with 83% less human effort.
Shows the synergy.
Right. And an electronics manufacturer used both to cut inventory costs by 20% and improve order fulfillment by 15%.
Yeah.
Really shows they work best together for end-to-end improvements.
Okay, this is really clear now. So for the Salesforce leaders listening wanting to harness this, what are the key strategic takeaways? What should they do?
Okay, few key things. First, map your opportunities. Really analyze your processes to see where standard RPA fits the repetitive stuff and where AI's intelligence is needed. Unstructured data, decisions, learning.
Don't just automate randomly.
Right. Second, think hyper-automation. Combine, don't choose. Look for integrated platforms like Salesforce's offerings that support both.
Use the ecosystem.
Yeah, which leads to the third point. Prioritize Salesforce native tools first where possible. Flow, Einstein GPT, MuleSoft RPA, Document Reader, they're designed to work together.
Start there before looking outside?
Generally, yes. Fourth, build governance early. Set up an Automation Center of Excellence, or COE. You need standards, yeah. Oversight, ways to manage the bots and the AI models.
Don't let bot sprawl happen.
Exactly. And finally, measure what matters. Tie automation projects to real business outcomes. Cost savings, faster cycles, better employee experience, whatever is relevant. Use benchmarks to track ROI.
Focus on the value, not just the tech. Fantastic advice. Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, what's the single biggest message for our audience about automation in 2025?
I think the main takeaway is that the future isn't RPA or AI. It's RPA and AI, orchestrated intelligently. That's hyper-automation.
RPA for the reliable execution, AI for the intelligence and adaptability.
You got it. That blend lets you automate more complex end-to-end processes effectively.
And this isn't niche, right? This combined approach is expected to be widespread.
Yeah, predictions are it'll touch maybe 20% of all business processes globally by 2025. It's fundamentally changing how work gets done.
Okay, so a final thought for everyone listening. As you plan your automation journey, think beyond just automating single tasks.
Right.
Think about how this shift, this combination of RPA execution and AI intelligence, this hyper-automation approach,
right.
How could that reshape not just your workflows, but your whole strategy for tackling business challenges and grabbing new opportunities?
That's the bigger picture to consider.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.